Ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon, and welcome to the Pfizer third quarter results analyst conference call. We have with us today Mr. Ajaz Tabakwala, Managing Director, and Mr. S. Sridhar, Finance Director. As a reminder, all participants' line will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions at the end of today's presentation. Should you need any assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand over the conference to Mr. Ajaz Tabakwala. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you very much, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'd like to welcome you to our Q3 2013-14 results for Pfizer Limited. I have with me on the call S. Sridhar, who, as you all know, is our Finance Director. Many of you have actually been asking us to schedule a call to also discuss the Wyeth results. We are happy to start doing this from this quarter, as both the companies still run as two listed entities and the merger process is still underway. We will discuss the performance of the companies separately, and hopefully you will understand that. In this respect, we will share with you Pfizer Limited's performance for the quarter three, take up questions related to Pfizer Limited, and then following this, we will take on the results for Wyeth Limited and its associated questions. We just think as a protocol way, that would be the best way for us to do it. We'd appreciate it if you could restrict your questions to Pfizer and/or Wyeth at its respective times. Let me start by saying you guys have certainly by now seen the published results of Pfizer Limited, which were declared on January 31st of this year. Let me start talking a little bit about the pharma industry as a whole. The India pharma market as of MAT November 13 was growing at about 9.2% as per IMS. The industry size has been around 77,800 odd crores. What's been interesting is we've been doing a little bit of analysis as to where the growth has gone and where the growth is coming from. Just to give you a little perspective from what we have at least seen, a majority of the growth actually are being driven by some of the local firms. Interestingly, above and beyond that, the top 10 companies are growing at 7%, which is below the IPM level. Within there, the top 10 Indian companies are growing at 10%, whereas the MNCs are only growing at 2%. IMS has reported for Pfizer a growth of about 5.5%. Now, the question obviously comes up is, why is this happening? We think a component of this certainly could be attributed to the new drug pricing policy and some of the trade issues that have adversely impacted probably the larger firms more than others. The value growth of IPM, the India pharma market, has come down from about 15.2% MAT November 11th to 9.2%. I don't think we've seen single digits in a very long time. That is also a result of a drop in volumes, which is a little bit more concerning. The volume drop has gone from 14.3% in November 11 to 7.6% in November 13. We've seen a slowdown across most therapy areas, the most remarkable one being the anti-infective space, which has gone from 8% all the way down to 0.2%. It's also the area that is the most impacted by the new pricing policy. Appropriately, a little bit more higher awareness on the use of antibiotics and how they should probably be restricted. CV is down from 19 to 11. GI is down 16 to 10. VMS respiratory are down from 15 and 16 respectively to 9. Anti-diabetes, the diabetic group has maintained a good growth, but even that is down from 28% to 19%. We really think a big part of this remains the new pricing policy, which means it has achieved, to an extent, what the government wanted, which is a new different pricing model into the marketplace. This quarter for us, and for the industry, I think has been challenging. There were certainly the trade margin challenges that were there post the new drug pricing policy announcement. The Pfizer group was also impacted in October, November with some of the trade-related issues. Our business resumed sort of normalcy in December 2013, and we did catch back a good part of our lost sales for the past 2 months. Let me also now update you on the status of the proposed merger between Wyeth Limited and Pfizer Limited, since I'm sure there'll be questions associated with it. I want to thank all of you who've written about it because we've received very positive coverage on the merger and the announcement. In addition, I'm happy to say that the feedback from the investor interactions that we've had have also been very positive. Post the board approval on November 23rd from both the companies, we've done a lot of work to make sure that the work streams keep flowing. We've received approval, as we sit today, from SEBI and stock exchanges last week, and we have filed the necessary applications with the Bombay High Court. We'll commence on our next steps post receipt of directions from the Bombay High Court. Also happy to let you know that the company has not received any complaints on the scheme from any stakeholders. We've also applied to the FIPB for approval, and our current assessment remains, as we had indicated earlier, that the process should be completed by September 2014. I'm going to now turn it over to Sridhar to talk a little bit about our performance for the quarter.
Hey, hello everyone. Thanks for dialing in. I'll talk about the Pfizer results first, as Chas said. We have seen that we reported an 8% increase in sales quarter on quarter. And as you all know, we continue to support animal health transition in manufacturing and selling for some period of time. And if you actually exclude that part of the sales in the quarter, our actual pharmaceutical growth is actually 9% for the quarter, and our YTD will be about 5%. Please note that the 9% is on the back of a bad 2 months, October and November, and a strong December month to catch back. Another factor we need to consider is we see our results over the last year or so. It has got a lot of element of animal health in terms of sales. We also have servicing animal health. We have wide expenses and servicing associated with it. If I just knocked the unexceptional item of animal health sale was also there. Just for comparison purposes, a pharmaceutical purpose business, if I look at it, pharmaceutical, like I said, is a 9% top-line growth and a profit of 33% from the operations without bank interest line, which is very, very strong growth. This is basically coming out of lower expense base. We told you over the last few quarters, we have restructured our teams there. That's bringing some efficiencies, and that's what you're seeing in the profit growth. All our products, except for Jelusil, Donalex, Amlogard, and branded generics, have grown in double digits in that quarter. Even on YTD basis, other than Bicosus, Amlogard, and branded generics, all the products reflect a strong growth. I think it's basically the new TA model we introduced in April, and the new selling model is actually making us a difference to our key products. So therefore, very happy to report a very strong quarter for Pfizer. The other operating income is lower by 2 crores. This is basically because of lower clinical trials. We said that we are reducing our support to Pfizer as Pfizer has put a new structure in place of 4 clinical trials. So therefore, this will reduce as the year progresses also. The overall expenditure is at 91.9% versus 95% the same period last year. On a YTD at 90 and 92 in the period, I'll explain each line separately because there are various movement lines impacting each of them. Let's talk about material cost. The material cost has increased by about 20-odd crores, which was 39.4% of sales in the current year versus 33.8% in the same period. We have made a provision for some obsolete inventory and product mix because the sales in the quarter is high because of the mismatch in scheme period, and that these are two reasons why you see a higher material consumption in the current quarter. The employee benefits, the staff cost in the current quarter is low by about 11 crores, which is 17.8% of sales versus 24%. This is basically, like I said, lower number of field force what we have versus the same period last year. In addition, given the improved interest rates, we have got a benefit on actual valuation, ASU, and retail benefits. That has given us a benefit in the current quarter by about 3-odd crores. So combination of these two results in a lower employee cost. Other expenses in the current quarter were 84 crores, which is 34% of sales, versus 83.7, which is about 36% or so last year. There is a merger-related expenses we have in this quarter of 5.6 crores. We have made some pricing-related accruals in this quarter. However, we do have offsets in terms of lower advertisement costs on facing. The clinical trial costs are lower because the income is also correspondingly lower, and we have a lower contract field force. So there is an offset happening in terms of other expenses. In terms of other income, the other income, though, has increased by 2 crores. This is basically because we sold some few residential apartments we had. We sold that off. One thing you need to keep factor in mind is the bank interest. Though in the current quarter, there seems to be a 9% growth. But given we paid off the interim dividend in December, you will see a bank interest as a big component will reduce going forward. So that's something we need to factor that in. In summary, profit before tax and exceptional, I'm keeping exceptional out of it, it still reflects a 13% growth on published basis there. And if I knock off the animal health and all the exceptions, we will still show very strong growth of 21 and 27, even if I consider interest income there. So we had a pretty decent performance in both the top and bottom line. Our bottom line is even way more excited, as that's what we were going gunning towards it. And we hope to continue this good run in the next quarter also. That's how our assessment is. So this is a brief snapshot of our results of Pfizer Limited. Jazz and I are happy to take on any questions.
Thank you very much, sir. Participants, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. We have the first question from the line of Sudarshan Padmanabhan from Sundaram Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Sir, can you give us, your sales, the pharmaceutical sales is about 9%. How much is it in terms of volumes and how you have been impacted in terms of pricing? If you can actually throw some light on Amlogard where you have taken some pricing, how much do you see the impact on the profits going forward?
So Pfizer has not been impacted so much by price control touch out, okay, except for Amlogard for a change. So most of the 9% is predominantly volume related, okay, pricing is not much. Amlogard, yes, that one product has seen a more than a 50% price reduction. We had a 56 rupees was the price earlier. It came down to 21.82. And actually, as of 2 months back, they have announced a new price. They have dropped it further to 21.38. So Amlogard per se, in the quarter, we are down about 2 crores compared to the same period last year, purely on the pricing. Otherwise, most of the 9% is purely volume growth other than for Amlogard.
So can you also throw some light on the other brands like Magnex, Minipress, how they have performed, the top five brands typically?
So, like I said, we had a challenge last year when we closed, if you remember. Some of our top products were struggling to grow because we probably got a little distracted with our strategy. And we started putting a new team in place and we started recasting our branded generic strategy. That is giving us good results. Both Jalusil, Magnex, Dolinex, all are growing at around 7%, 8%, which is better than what we had at around 0 or 2% of what it was. So it's the first year after our new strategy and at a 7%, 8%, we're pretty happy with our growth there for the top products there. Corex is reasonably okay. Though it's reflecting a negative growth for us for the first 9 months, we know the reason why. We went through some scheme periods. Last year, we had some big schemes that really pushed up our sales in few quarters. And as on year end of last year, we did sit with some inventory. We had to go through the corrections. We have changed the strategy this year, and we said we're not going to have any big bang schemes, go through a standard or regular schemes. So therefore, this year is a correction year for Bicosils, and next year we should see a lot more steady state Bicosils. So in summary, I think all our top products are performing well, much, much better than last year. They already reached a 6 to 8% growth, and we hope to do much better going forward.
Sir, on the branded generic side, mm-hmm. We are focusing on the products that are growing and more profitable. We are kind of moving out of products which are not so profitable. If you can give us a sense as to how many products we have moved away and, some kind of sense as to how the trajectory is expected to move forward.
Okay, so we didn't move away because of profitability. Let's accept that. We did not move because of profitability. I think we have launched one too many products in branded generics at a pretty faster pace. we expected the market to take it on. We realized that our field force is getting diverted into every single product, and therefore we were not getting focused on top products. Our strategy was not to distract the people from the top products. It was basically to broad-base the portfolio, which didn't work last year. So hence, we had to recast it. Second, we launched close to about 40-odd products last year. Of the 40-odd products, probably about 10 products or 12 products made sense to us. When it made sense means we mean from a Pfizer lens, not from the way the competition sees that success. We have our own internal benchmark. And we said if we don't cross a threshold of XYZ revenue in the first 2 years of launch, we're not going to focus on those products. So that's the benchmark we did. So for about 40-odd products, we continue to focus on half of them as of today. The rest half of them, we say we're not going to focus on it. So that's a broad mathematics for you.
Thanks a lot, Sanjay.
Thanks, Ashwin.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Nikhil Upadhyay from Securities Investment Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good evening, sir, and thanks for the opportunity.
Hey, Nikhil.
Sir, just continuing over the discussion in the last quarter con call, so you had said that you had set up a separate team in order to increase the product availability in Tier 2 and Tier 3 market. So just wanted a sense about what percentage of our sales would currently be coming from those market, and how do you see that can scale up with this new separate team which you have done? And secondly, the 9% growth which we have had this quarter, how the changes which we have implemented over the last quarters have started working on?
Okay. So a couple of things. I will actually be a little careful to answer this question in a different form. It's not that you're focusing on Tier 2 to Tier 3 market consciously, okay? Pfizer is strong in metro and probably reasonably well strong in Tier 1. So between metro and Tier 1, we probably have virtually 100% coverage. It starts coming down from Tier 2 to 3 onwards. When we started the strategy, we did it in two ways. Some part of a portfolio is metro-centric, highly prescription-oriented. Some part of portfolio is purely trade-push kind of a portfolio where trade buys it or repurchases. So we have a great combination of both of them. So given that optimum, we launched a TA-based model. So therefore, for a pain TA, respiratory TA, which are highly science-based selling, we have teams focusing on those doctors which are important for us, but they will predominantly focus on metros and tier ones. There will be some coverage in Tier 2 and 3, but it will come down as we move along. Whereas when we come to my team, which promotes big three products, which is correct because of Jellusil, we were being promoted by three different teams earlier. We brought all this together into one single team. We consolidated the field force rather than split into three different teams. We brought them together. So they gave us a big solid strength of 300-plus field force. This has an element of contract field force also. So therefore, that gives us ability to actually have two field force for a cost of one and gives us a little more depth and distribution into Tier 2 and Tier 3 markets. So because the products are well reached there, so that's the model we put into place. So therefore, we are saying where products are doing well in Tier 2 and 3, we have this extra field force covering the market for us. So that's the strategy we put in place.
Yeah, the only thing, guys, that I'd like to add to that, right, would be, But don't take that to mean that our strategy is that we're suddenly going into a geographical expansion model, right? That is not the idea over here. We need to continue to evaluate this new team, which, like we've said, is actually giving us good results. If we believe that the coverage that we need in those lower tier markets is not adequate, then certainly we would look for that expansion. But it's not like we're switching goalposts over here and starting to get into those markets directly.
Okay. Secondly, sir, on Corex, just wanted to know, so we had this whole problem of codeine and all, and as a result, we've also launched Corex DX, the line extension. So just wanted to know, how is that product moving in terms of, because the brand Corex already has a very strong presence. So how has the customer started moving to Corex DX, and how do you see, like, is it able to fulfill the sales which Corex, the codeine base was getting impacted?
I think that's a really good question, right? I firmly believe that we have great equity in the brand name, right? And I think Corex serves a particular purpose and niche in the marketplace. What we wanted to do, obviously, was to provide our customers with a value proposition of using a product with the same brand name, but which did not have codeine, right? Hence the introduction of Corex DX. Corex DX is doing well. I'll get you the exact number on it. Around 40 odd crores. Sorry, about 40, close to 40 crores, and it's providing doctors with an alternative, right? And we think it as a model, as an approach, leveraging some of our big brand names, right, for line extensions or extensions of that core brand is certainly going to be an area of our focus going forward.
Okay. Thirdly, sir, it's more of on a combined entity basis. So if we look at Pfizer and Wyeth now as a combined entity, our cash flow would still remain very strong with very limited capex requirements and all. I appreciate that we've already given a good dividend this time around. But going forward, what would be the dividend policy that we will try to maintain? So is it like because in one of the AGMs you did mention that 30% would be what you would be looking for. But going forward, what's the idea on that?
I don't think we've ever declared what it's going to be. I think what we've said, though, and I think we said this at the last call when we did the announcement, is we're going to remain conservative on our dividend policy. I don't think that model is suddenly going to change just because we've got good cash flow, right? We certainly did make a call given the amount of cash we had that would make the most sense to return it to our investors, and we will continue to evaluate sort of how we look at our cash position. But I don't think at the moment we're looking at a significant change in our dividend policy.
Okay. Last question, basically, sir, on this Pfizer Products India Limited, I was just going through its ROC balance sheet. It said it's in business of some part of its revenue is coming from the trading business. So just can you give me some highlight, like what would be the therapeutic areas where this business would be directed towards?
Okay, we wouldn't want to talk about that entity in this call out here, but just for your broad thing, they're predominantly in oncology space, predominantly and so specialty areas.
Okay. Thanks a lot, sir.
Thanks.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Vishal Shah from Allard Partners. Please go ahead.
Good evening. Thanks for taking my question. My question is on your key products, Becasul, Corex, and Jelisib. You briefly touched upon this, but you know each of this product has faced different issues over the last few years. And Corex, Jelisib, as you mentioned, the growth is coming back. And for Becasul, maybe the growth will come back after this year of correction. But do you think in each of this product, we have seen the bottom, and from here on, you know, a year's time or so, we can see a sustainable growth matching the industry growth?
So if I talk about Jelisil for a second, right? So Jelisil has actually become the number one antacid in India. So we've actually taken that position, which we're very, very proud of, obviously. But the key over there is that it certainly is a one-time event, right? And what we're going to continue to look at, right, is how do we keep positioning Jelisil for growth? And it won't just be on there on the products we have, but like I said, you know, potentially with introductions of either new extensions or new flavors. So as a group of products, in essence, certainly we expect to do well with it. Within its direct space, Jelisil actually does significantly better than its core market, if you want to look at it in that space. So that has never been sort of the concern. The concern has been as prescribing habits switch you know, from an antacid to other forms of control. We just want to make sure that people have understand the value proposition that an antacid brings, and also the convenience that it brings to the patient.
And on Bakisul, like after this year, like can we see growth coming back? Because in the last quarter, you did indicate that you know we can see 9 to 12% kind of growth.
We're certainly seeing a different trajectory on Bakisul than we have seen in the past. As Sridhar mentioned, I think this year, a lot of it is just a quarter to quarter fluctuation, given that we were running a very different scheme model last year. But as we look at our core numbers on a month-to-month basis, yep, we certainly believe we'll be able to climb back up into the high single, maybe double digits.
And on Codex, briefly, like you mentioned reasonable growth, what would be that growth trajectory? And like you have been taking measures, so
On Codex, as you said, you know, what we've basically done is we've made sure that the product is available to our stockists. And we are not doing anything in terms of a hard push on that product. The product continues to perform at market levels.
Okay. And another question, because so last call you did mention that, you know, there is still uncertainty whether the product is coming out of pricing policy. So any update on that?
Still continues for the time being there. So
if you guys have been following it, I think there's lots of products that the conversation with the government continues.
We are in touch with the government, and they had to take a decision on it, and we didn't want to take anything which will, you know, disturb the current thought process of the government. So we're still working towards the government.
Okay. And lastly, like you did provide the, you know, continuing sales growth numbers, like excluding the animal sales. But what would be that number for on the EBIT level? Like sales growth is, say, 5% for the 9 months and 9% for this quarter.
Yeah.
But at the operating profit level, what would be that number?
So like I said, if I only exclude animal health, okay, and I exclude even the Wyeth service income, which is also, you know, there, our PBT would be 21% for the quarter and 27% for a YTD basis.
Okay. Okay, thanks. I have some questions on Wyeth, which I'll get back.
Sure.
Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Rajesh Ranganathan from Doris Capital. Please go ahead.
Hey, thanks a lot for organizing this call, and congratulations on a decent set of results. I wanted to just clarify some of the questions that have already been asked and answered to a certain extent. One is with respect to Bakisul's, and I think in the last call we spoke as well, that while you are taking a lot of effort to improve your position in Bakisul's, ultimately the challenge is that Bakisul's as a single vitamin product does have some issues in the changed marketplace. So from a point of view of launching new products, which can capture the future growth, have you thought about that whole space in terms of what is your product launch strategy going ahead, and can you share some light on that?
Yeah, so Rajesh, I think, you know, it's consistent with what we've said in the past, which is that we are certainly taking a look at our large brands and trying to see what would be the best way to extend them as a family of products, if you want to look at it that way, right? So we certainly see Bakisul as having an opportunity in essence, you know, for line extensions. Also, as Sridhar indicated earlier, we've got an entire opportunity on Bakisul outside of the core metro and tier one space, right? And as we're exploring that whole model, just given both the pricing on the product and the name recognition of the product, we think there is additional opportunity for it even there.
And forgive my ignorance on this, Centrum brands are in India under Pfizer or not under Pfizer?
Centrum has not been launched in India.
Do you plan to?
We are constantly exploring options on what we would launch in here. And we'd be looking at that also.
Okay, because it's a strong brand in metros anyway, even without you having not promoted it.
Very aware of it.
And on the same vein, if you look at the Pfizer portfolio of consumer products, not just over-the-counter, there are plenty of other options like ChapStick, which is, again, a very strong brand name. Are those kind of products, just as an example, but as a family strategy, is that something you're looking at?
I'll suggest we hold that call until I'll answer that question on the Wyeth side of it, because I think that whole consumer space of ours is actually under the Wyeth umbrella, if you don't mind, Rajesh.
Okay, no problem. And a related question is with respect to the product pipeline for the future. If you look at Pfizer Global, finally they are getting some products coming through registration after a long time, which looks somewhat interesting. And have you looked at that and said, okay, which of those could be interesting in India? If yes, which are those, and how are you preparing your own field force and selling strategies for that? Because that would be quite different from what you're doing right now.
I mean, we continue to evaluate the pipeline of Pfizer, right? The goal obviously is if a product makes sense, for us to launch it in India, we would absolutely launch it in India. I think, as you said, some of the pipeline is still in reasonably early stages, and there's some products that are under registration. So, yep, absolutely. We continue to evaluate to see how we can maximize our business over here.
Anything you're excited about that you can share?
No, nothing. Nothing at the moment that I could share.
Or that you're not excited about?
No, nothing at the moment that I could share.
Okay. And finally, before you get on to questions about that, with respect to the Pfizer branded generic strategy, I know you've cut back, but the original logic of doing that partially also was to build up your strength around certain therapeutic areas.
Absolutely.
So is that still a strategy that you have?
Very much so, Rajesh, very much so. Yeah, and I want to make sure that I emphasize the point. What we're talking about is an adjustment of the strategy, not a departure from our goal, right? And I think you bring up a very, very good point. Our goal had been that there are new products that we certainly need in our portfolio to get better coverage of the TA. I think what happened is we landed up launching a few that were not necessarily focused in the right spots, and that became even more apparent to us as we made our change to this TA-based selling model, right? We suddenly found a lot of products that really didn't fit in the bag of our reps. I think that's where we've made the adjustment. We will continue to launch products, and we will continue to try to launch them certainly in the TAs where either we've got a great starting position or we've got a history in terms of our global pipeline, or certainly ones where we feel, right, with a few additions, our portfolio would get more complete. And that absolutely remains the strategy.
Okay. Thank you. I'll get back into the queue and for the Wyeth-related questions.
Thank you, Rajesh.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take the last question on Pfizer from Ravi Purohit from Skill Ventures. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking my questions. Most of my questions have been answered. Just one last question. Basically, this is to do with, one of the earlier callers were referring to one of the 100% owned subs of the parent, Pfizer Inc. in India. So in that sense, can we as, let's say minority shareholders in India get some sort of commitment or idea from Pfizer saying that, the TAs which are with the Pfizer plus Wyeth listed entity, any new product that comes in at Pfizer Inc. will be launched to this company. So is there any such clarity that we have or we can communicate to shareholders as to, if there are other 100% owned subsidiaries of the company, it's not that, certain products in good care and certain, arbitrarily they can go here and there. So if you could just throw some light on, what the thought process there is and if you could communicate the same.
Generally, that has been our thought process till now. If you notice, we have launched Champix, Viagra, all that in Pfizer Limited. It's not that everything is not launched. Our objective is to obviously maximize where the field force is sitting in, and that's where our focus has been. That has been a general strategy till now. I don't think we have gone too much away from that. It's not that there is Like I've said earlier also in my previous call, the 100% sub is what came in from our previous acquisitions. It has a specialist oncology and few pharma products there. It remains there. Nothing major has happened in that. And we have tried to, you know, be very fair to all our shareholders and investors.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. I now hand over the floor back to Mr. Ajaz Tobakowala for any final remarks on the Pfizer results call.
Thank you. Guys, let me just close the Pfizer side, right, by just sort of maybe stating the obvious, right? We do believe that business is sort of getting back to normal post-resolution of some of these trade issues. The pricing policy uncertainty, unfortunately, remains a little bit in place, but I think at least it's starting to settle in. It's from a calendar standpoint, 2013 has certainly been a challenging year, I think, for us and for the industry. But as this uncertainty comes to an end, we're looking for a good quarter in 2014 and hopefully for the remainder of the year. Okay?
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.